Amen. Grab your Bibles out. Remain standing. Yes, Revelation 21:21. Revelation 21:21 in your Bibles. Brother Travis is so excited he's hopping pews. Amen. Revelation 21:21. Amen. Did Isaac go help with junior church? Is that what? Okay. All right. Exactly. Each one. Each particular gate. So, every several gate. Yeah. But that's not what we're talking about today. That was last week. Yeah. All right. Revelation 21:21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You'd help us today. Lord, I pray that You would deal with the need of each heart. Lord, encourage us, draw us to Yourself, and help us, Lord, to deal with what each of us needed to deal with, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, that if repentance is needed, that You'd bring that. If encouragement is needed, that You would provide that. Lord, we pray, Father, that You'd just meet with us, Lord, and help us to acknowledge Your presence, Lord. May we leave here bringing glory to You as we apply the message to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. All right. The message is probably going to be short. Quite possibly. It is a definite possibility. Maybe. So 50-50. It either is or it isn't. So there you go. I have two main points today, all right? So the title is Revelation 21, New Jerusalem 19, The Golden Street. All right. So anybody want to guess what the 2 points are? Yeah, the Golden Street. They're backwards, though. They're flipped. It's street and then golden, all right? Or pure gold, yeah. So, street. We're going to talk about a street for a moment. Now, I spent quite a lot of time and effort and study, and y'all know that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes a 10-minute sermon or a 40-minute sermon or a 50-minute, usually my sermons are average 55 minutes. That's average, typically. So, a 55-minute sermon, we'll say, a lot of times, now not always, but a lot of times, there are many, many, many hours of studying, planning. In some cases, those hours were not in specific preparation for that message. It's just many, many hours of studying and learning the Word of God, and then it just compiles to then use to prepare the message. In some cases, though, my notes here are just, you know, one page front and back. But if I were to catalog everything that I studied in preparation, it'd be a pretty good amount of things. I could write you a little book on it. So yesterday, actually, I had been thinking things over throughout the week, and I had been kind of preparing. I prepared, like I said already, at least 4 messages and ended up settling on this one. But all of them kind of had a little bit to do with the street itself. Okay, well, obviously they all did because they were all about Golden Street. So my title was pre-selected. I already decided what I was going to preach. It's just where you go with that sometimes can be a challenge, right? And so yesterday I was digging a little bit. When I think about the Golden Street, I always think about Pastor Kaiser. I know it's kind of funny to say that, and he's probably going to watch the message now and be like, "You're talking about me." And here's why. In Sunday school back in the late 1900s, We were sitting in Sunday school class, and we were talking about how some songs don't always have perfectly correct wording. Like, it doesn't always, it's not always accurate, 100% accurate. And he brought up specifically the song Victory in Jesus. And in that song, it talks about the streets of gold. And he made a point to say, the Bible does not say streets, it says street. And then anytime we were singing the song and he was near me, I would always hear him sing street, not streets, on purpose. Just like some people have a doctrinal thing about the word sin versus sins. And so in that same song, they'll say, repented of my sin and won the victory, instead of what the song says, sins and won the victory. I don't see a difference, but anyhow, some people make a difference between sin and sins on that. So it's funny how people will change songs slightly to fit their doctrine or fit their understanding of the correctness of the song. For me, I just sing the song and know that it might be accurate or might not be. Not a big deal. So when I'm thinking about the street of gold, which is really only mentioned twice, I believe, in the Bible, and it's also only mentioned singular. The other place is in Revelation 22:2, where it says, "In the midst of the street of it." All right. So I begin to think a lot like my mom was thinking yesterday when I mentioned street and singular and all that. She said, "Doesn't it say streets of gold?" I said, "No, there's a whole bunch of songs that say streets of gold and a bunch of people who say streets of gold, but it only says street." She's like, "Well, how could it be that there's one street and 12 gates? I mean, where do you what are you traversing on to get across the city with 12 gates and only one street?" Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit. So y'all know that the word street does not mean the same thing in 2024 as it meant in 1611 when our Bible was translated into English. All right? It doesn't mean the same exact thing. And we're going to talk about that through the process of this. So what I did was, I am not a proponent of looking at other versions of the Bible. However, I am a proponent of looking at other languages that the Bible is translated into using the same underlying text. Y'all get what I'm saying, all right? If you're reading your New Testament Bible, your King James Bible in the New Testament, you're using the it is translated from the Textus Receptus, right? And then there are some other languages that were also looked at when the translation took place. And so one would be like Spanish, right? There was a Spanish Reina Valera in 1602 that they used as part of their translating efforts for the King James Bible. They used Latin, they used Spanish, they used there's like at least seven different languages that were used in translating your Bible. But the primary underlying text is the Textus Receptus. So whenever I'm looking at other languages, I'm looking for languages who have Bibles that are also based upon or translated from the Textus Receptus. Good? Textus Receptus is a Greek text, right? All right, so I'm going to give you nine languages today, okay? So we're going to speak in tongues, and I'm going to translate, all right? So, I don't speak all nine of these languages, but many of them are very closely related and not very hard to understand what you're reading. Now, I did not type out the verses, the whole verse, for all nine languages, which now I regret not doing, because it would have been nice to be able to say, like, read it to you. Though I probably would not pronounce the German correctly. But the word for street is kind of cool. But anyhow, so in your Greek New Testament, the Textus Receptus, the word for street is plateia. Plateia. It is where we get our English word plat. or plateau or place. Those are the basic translations from that Greek word into English. You say, well, why did they translate it street? Because that was the right word for the English language when it was translated right there. It was street. Now, y'all know that they just messed up the word street in the last like couple hundred years, right? We'll talk about it. But it was really developers that kind of messed up the street, messed up the name street because of how they would use different names for roads, streets, etc. And they would use these names, these different odonyms for the roads, for the streets, and then we would use street so generically that it means anything that you drive down. And of course, in 1611, when the King James Bible was translated, there were no cars. And so there's a difference there. We'll get back to English in a minute. But in Greek, you have platia. In Hebrew, the Hebrew New Testament, it's a translation from the Textus Receptus, and it's rachove, and that is it's a really can be a general term like a width, like an avenue or an area that's traversed, a broad place, something like that. So, or Broadway, something like that. And I'm not going to give you definitions for all the other languages because they just follow these. All right. So in your Reina Valera 1602, that's the one that was used in the translation of the King James Bible. That's the Spanish, right? The word is plaza. 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 Well, you know, it would be Spanish. It's Plaza de Oro. So, actually, oh, how did they put it? La plaza del ciudad era, I forget. It's ora, and I can't remember the word they used for pure, but anyhow. So there's your Spanish there was plaza. Latin is platea, which is very close to the Greek. All right. Italian. No, I'm sorry. Yes, Italian. Here we go. Italian is piazza. Piazza. Not pizza. Piazza. French. Place. Place, which in if you transliterated it and pronounced it like it's English, it's P-L-A-C-E. Yeah. Place. Or maybe the E is silent in French. I don't know. If it is, then it's Platz. Then German. Anybody want to guess? Pretty close. Pretty close. It's Gassen. Gassen. And actually, in German, it is plural. You can thank Luther for that. Gassen. Gassen. Y'all know Gassen is what you do on the street. You hit the Gassen. So, yes. Portuguese is Praca. Praca. English, street. Now, street, the word street, not the word translated in the Bible from the Greek word, but the word street itself, where it came from in the English language, okay? It is from the Latin strata. And so if we anglicize that, strata. When you think about strata, most people immediately think about something way up over our head, right? The stratosphere, which is the sphere that is layered. That's why they call it a stratosphere. Strata is layer. It is a layer. And so strata is layers, and then there's another way to say, I think it's stratum, would be the plural Latin of layers, or layer, a single layer. So strata. So it's interesting when you think about a street. The reason that we call streets streets is because they are roads around which a city has been built. And because a city has been built along the road is then layered with more layers to fortify it for the additional traffic that goes on that road. And so a road and a street are not the same things. A road is anything that's traversed. A street is a road that has been fortified with multiple layers for the sake of traversing near city. Usually a street will also, or in a city, usually a street will also have buildings on either side of it. Now you can go into all of the other odonym, which would be, which I didn't list here. You could talk about a road, you can talk about a lane, you can talk about an avenue, you can talk about a boulevard, you can talk about a parkway, a drive, a circle. All of these names that we use for what we generally just call streets. But the Bible usage of the word street is more specified than we use it today. We use the word street as a general term for anything you drive on. Typically, right? Would that seem to be about right? But when you look at it in the Bible, it is used to differentiate it from the lanes and the roads. The lanes are typically alleys, what we would call an alley. And the roads are typically those passages that go from city to city, okay? Or from a part of a city to another part of a city, but not a plaza or thoroughfare or main street or something like that. And so the street of the city would be the primary means of transporting you to the main area of the city, like the throne of God. And so that's why the word street is singular, because it's speaking of a particular road, we'll say. So all of the other passages are maybe sidewalks, roads, lanes, you know, things like that. So, yes, you probably have something coming from every gate that wouldn't use the biblical word street. We would probably just generally use the word street. But there will be an obvious difference between other passages and the main street of New Jerusalem. Make sense? Okay, so like I said, we use the word differently than it was used in 1611. We also use it much differently than the way it would have been used before there was English in AD 95 when the Bible was written, or when this verse was written. And so, of course, there's also example of the word road is used in the Bible as well. It's not as frequent. The word lane or lanes. When Jesus is giving the parable there, he says to the servant, the master says to the servant to go out into the streets and lanes. And in other passages, it says highways and hedges. So the word highway is used as well. And you say, what's the difference between a street and a highway? Well, one is higher than the other. A highway, the actual definition of highway would be one. A road that is made to be up higher than the first level of most buildings, and so it takes you over an area instead of through. So that's a highway is like now in America and in the 20th century we established what we would call an interstate or an intrastate, depending on what you're talking about. One goes in a state all over the place, right? We now call those like state roads a lot of times. And then there are the ones that go from state to state, like across multiple states. So, anyhow, lots of words for roads, right? The basic gist of what a street is the general sense is it is something that gets you from one place to another. All right? It's a connecting point. All right? And so when we consider a street, we consider it to be a connecting point. This particular street is a special street. It is a major connecting point. It is, in my opinion, I'm just going to put it this way, my opinion, because the only passages that you have dealing with it is, you know, verse 21 of chapter 21 and verse 2 of chapter 22. And you'll notice here in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and so on. But before you read that, in verse 1, it says, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So the river proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the street is close enough that the tree of life is on either side of the river in the midst of the street. Right? In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river. So I would just assume, again, my assumption, my personal opinion, is that the river and the street run along the same area, and I believe that the street probably takes you to the throne. And the river comes out of the throne, yeah. And so, now, that is, again, not to say that there are no other thoroughfares. I know, I've used like, 12 different words for passages and streets and all of that. There are likely lots of other connection points, we'll say, around New Jerusalem besides just this street that's described here. Make sense? Y'all know that there's probably more about the New Jerusalem that is not described in your Bible than there is described in your Bible? I mean, 1,500 miles square. No mention of buildings. No mention of houses or mansions. No mention of anything else in the city. Just the major features. And so, there will be a whole lot of exploration possibilities there, okay? So we'll learn those things all by and by. Now, just a little piece of trivia here for you. A little piece of trivia for you. If you were to Google, what is the longest street in the world? Now, other than my mom, because I told her yesterday. And my wife's not in here, so we don't have to worry about that. What would you think would come up? So, specifically the longest street. Not highway, not path, street. Okay, so the answer you will get is technically incorrect. And you will get pages of the answer saying that Yonge Street, Y-O-N-G-E, is the longest street in the world. It held the record in the Guinness Book of World Records until 1999, when it was discovered that it actually isn't as long as they thought it was. We don't know if it's still the longest street in the world or not, but I actually have been on that street. It's in Toronto, Canada. It begins at Lake Ontario, and Yonge Street itself, without changing the name, goes from Lake Ontario up to Lake Simcoe. And that section of it's like 53 miles. Now, understand that a street, 38 miles. A street is different than a road. Still, technically, they're different things, right? If you were to get directions to a location and you put road at the end instead of, or RD at the end instead of ST at the end, if there are often there are roads and streets who have the same names, right? There's also it's street, right? Avenue. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Avenue and street, like Emerson. Emerson is Avenue at 350. Is it still Avenue down in Beech Grove? Is it? Okay. Now, State Street right over here is State Street. But when you get past Prospect, it's now State Avenue. Changes what type of thoroughfare it is. So when you talk about streets, like my mom mentioned yesterday, what about like Washington Street? And I'm like, well, Washington Street is only Washington Street in Marion County. When you leave Marion County on Washington Street, it is either US 40 or Indiana National 40. But it's not a street anymore. A boulevard. So as I was studying this, there's so many trivial things that you figure out. When I was studying this, I found that according to Trulia, I think it is. Is that how they say it? Trulia? They say that comparing the average cost per square foot of a home, of a residence, the most expensive average cost per square foot house is on a boulevard. So boulevards are the most, that you've got the more expensive houses on boulevards as opposed to now. What is a boulevard? A boulevard. What's that? That's all the U.S., yeah. So a boulevard is like a street, a road that often has a lot of, we'll say, a lot of features around it. Like sometimes it'll have a median. Sometimes it won't, but a lot of times it's got vegetation growing on both sides of it, and the buildings are off. What's that? Right, but that's not a boulevard, though. It's a place. Is it Woodruff Place Boulevard? Somebody look it up on the map. Woodruff. I think it's just Woodruff Place North and Woodruff Place South, or maybe east and west. I can't remember which way it is, but then there's like Washington Park Boulevard. But a boulevard usually has turns and it follows the landscape more than and it's more about the landscape than it is about the road. Makes sense? Whereas a street, typically you lay the street down and you put everything else around it. Right? Like buildings and vegetation and stuff. Did somebody find it? Is it drive? Okay. And a drive also has some features that a boulevard has. The difference is a drive doesn't always follow the landscape. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But it's more about landscape than it is about the road also, similar to a boulevard. So fun stuff. You know, when you study these things, it's like, You hear all these different words and you're like, what is the difference? You know, and then people ask funny questions like, why do we park in a driveway and drive in a parkway and things like that, right? But this disputed thing. So here's the thing. They said that originally Young Street, they said, went 1,800 some miles from Toronto there at the shore of Lake Ontario, all the way up around Lake Simcoe and over the Great Lakes and all the way to Rainy something or another. I forget what it, I forget. I didn't write it down. This town at the border of Minnesota. Now, they found that what was being done is they were saying, well, yeah, that's still Young Street. It just turns into Ontario 11. Well, when you change the name, it's no longer the same street. And so that's why they lost their their like longest street in the world thing. Now, there are still many websites that call this the longest street in the world. But I thought that I had it down, but then I was like researching it again this morning and I found a Wikipedia article that cited other things that said in 1999 it technically lost its status. But there were still articles from last year that said this was the longest street in the world. But if it was the longest street in the world, the official Guinness Book of World Records record for the length of the street was 1,178 miles. That's still less miles than the New Jerusalem is from one side to the other. Not considering diagonal, we don't know if the main street goes straight from one end to the other or if it goes across diagonally. We don't know. We don't know. Yeah. Yep. So, anyhow, so that's fun stuff about streets, right? But the main concept here that I'm going to focus on today is the fact that a street is a connection point. It connects you from one place to another. All right? Point two. Pure gold as transparent glass. Pure gold as transparent glass. Now, I'm leaving the typical thought process on gold for a different interesting thought for practical usage. Y'all know that gold has practical usage more than just money. It could be decoration. But even more practical than that, my next sub-point is conductivity. Yeah, conductivity. So used in many electronics. For example, who's got a smartphone? Who's got a smartphone? Now don't get it out and start messing with it. But who's got a smartphone? Did you know that your smartphone has 34 milligrams of gold in it, in the circuitry? 34 milligrams of gold. You say, whoa, I've got gold. Well, that's about $1.82 worth of gold. Yeah, copper is a good conductor, but gold is... So, in order of what's the best conductor of electricity, silver is actually the best conductor of electricity. Because of the way that the atoms of silver are made up, the electrons can flow freely through silver. However, silver tarnishes. So it doesn't last. And it's pretty expensive to try to, like, you know, wire your house with silver. probably be pretty expensive. Now, copper is second in conductivity. And it, what's that? But it corrodes eventually. If not properly insulated, it can corrode. But copper is used because it is cheaper than silver. Now, gold does not conduct quite as well, although it is in the top three. It doesn't conduct quite as well as silver and copper. However, it does not tarnish or corrode. And that's why it's used in electronics, oftentimes in circuit boards and things like that. So most computers, smartphones, you know, things like that, they have, or anything that has circuitry in it, often has really, really small amounts of gold in that circuitry. It's not dust. It's melted into a wire, a very thin, thin wire. Because it adds up. It adds up, yeah. It adds up. You can take dust and melt it down into little drops. And what's that? Yeah, we're all made of dust. How are we any worth anything? So, but in terms of that, you can melt it down. And gold is worth what? $2,000 an ounce right now? Probably more. I don't know. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, turn of the 17th century. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. But an ounce of gold is like $2,000. An ounce is a very small amount. It's only 28 grams. You know, and now, of course, I just told you have 34 milligrams of gold in your phone, which is, it's 0.034 grams. 0.034 grams. It's there are 1,000 milligrams in a gram. It's not a third of a gram. It's way down there. It's less than 1%. And so you have to have 1,000 milligrams to make a gram. You only have 34 in your phone. So, and then 28 grams per ounce. But if you think about it, if gold were $2,800 per ounce, then that would break down to about, what, $100 a gram, roughly. In gold, $1.82. It's not much. Not much. But that means that 834 smartphones equal 1 ounce of gold. So if you pile up 834 smartphones and then you do all the work to get the gold out of them, which is not worth it, not a good way to get gold, okay? But see what I'm saying? When we talk about gold, it immediately goes back to the monetary value. But really, though, why is it in your phone? Because of the connection that it makes. Because it's conductive. Because there's a good connection. Because it makes a good connection. And that's the next sub-point, is connection. God made all things for His pleasure. God made all things for His pleasure. In Revelation 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." For His pleasure. Also, God's intention for us was, Sunday school, fellowship with Him. His intention for mankind was fellowship with Him. In Jeremiah chapter 29, He says in verse number 11, He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think of you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You know, God desires that we be close to Him. In James chapter 4 and verse number 8, He says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." God desires that we draw nigh to Him so that He can draw nigh to us. Even the church in Laodicea, even to those of Laodicea, He said, "As many as I love," this is Revelation 3:19 and 20, "as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." This is fellowship, right? And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But this is fellowship. You know, when God made man in the Garden of Eden, He didn't make man to say, "Okay, you go over there and you watch your TV, and I'll go over here and I'll do my thing, and I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone." No, that's not what God made man for. God made man for that fellowship, for that connection, for that love, for that relationship with Him. And so, yes, He put man in the garden to dress it and to keep it. But there is a implied intention that God would walk with man. When we see that after man sinned, God came to the Garden of Eden to meet with him, we assume that that's what was implied, right? In fact, many people say that God regularly walked in the garden in the cool of the day. We don't have record of that, but we see it implied in the fact that He comes and they hear the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they go and hide themselves. Obviously, we see that it is implied there that God was coming to meet with them, not to come to correct them for the sin that they've committed, but coming to connect with man in the garden. We see that in a lot of the parables when Jesus says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, and He talks about the master and the Lord and things that had a connection or a relationship with the servants. And then, He would leave and come back for the purpose of reconnecting with the servants. And so this whole concept, you know, God's desire is not that we be separated, but that we be connected, right? And God's desire for fellowship, it fueled the answer of fixing the disconnect between God and man. When God and man were disconnected, when the cable was broken, when the wire was cut, and the connection was broken in the Garden of Eden because of sin, God had an answer that He provided, a reconnection, right? A wire nut. No, I'm kidding. No, that's not a good illustration there, but a reconnection. And how is that done? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled," or reconnected us, "to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And so there's a connection there that God desires. And you're disconnected because of sin. This is what we call death. It is a separation from God. It's a disconnect from God. Whereas He had that connection available, and we were originally connected, and we disconnected because of sin. I say we as in mankind. And then man, over the years, has broadened the disconnect. But God condescended unto man and came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that we might be reconciled to Him, that we might be reconnected. Now, you understand, I don't mean that you were saved and then you were lost. I'm not saying that. But mankind was disconnected, and then God has made it possible for us to get connected to Him. Amen. And that connection is done by the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. When He died for our sins, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That connection is meant to restart the fellowship that God desired from the beginning. That fellowship, or that connectivity, that matter of... Y'all know the word fellowship in the Greek is koinonia. It means to have something in common. It means to... Isn't that interesting? Have a common wire. Have something. What's that? That's right. Your power can't flow without something in common. Y'all didn't know we were going to talk about electricity today, did you? The idea is power, right? The idea is connection. The idea is fellowship. In 1 John chapter 1, if you want to turn over there real quick. 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it." We're in 1 John 1 verse 2 in the middle of it. "And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Verse number 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This fellowship, of course, the fellowship begins at salvation. But it ought to remain in your life as a believer. You realize that you can have salvation without the connection, the initial connection. But you can get disconnected without losing your salvation. You just lose your fellowship, the connection that you have. You're not technically disconnected, like technically, but you've put a resistor in. Right? And it's caused friction. It's caused heat. It's caused a problem between you and God. If you're saved and you are walking in darkness, or you're sinning against God, if you're saved and you haven't gotten and you've gotten wrong with God and you haven't gotten right with God, then your fellowship is broken. It is heavily taxed. And you might blow a fuse. But God intends on a direct connection with us. Amen. Fellowship with us. First with salvation and then with righteous living by the grace of God. That connection is meant to be there all the time. You know, the golden street is something that connects from one place to another. It doesn't get you to heaven. It's in the New Jerusalem. So everybody that's going to experience the golden street is already saved. And so what it will remind us of is that when we were disconnected, He connected us. He gave us the opportunity for connection, for salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, when His blood was shed at Calvary. Not only that, but He gave us all of this earthly life that we've had. He's given us the opportunity for connection, for fellowship. And He continues to give you that opportunity today. And if you're not saved, He still gives you the opportunity to get connected, to get saved. But He gave us this illustration, although maybe it wasn't intended that we have this illustration this way, but you can't avoid it, really. If you really think through the whole thing, you can't avoid it, that the street of gold is going to connect us to the throne of God for more fellowship in the New Jerusalem. And here's the thing. You know what would keep gold from having a good connection if you were trying to pass power along a golden piece of material, a rod or a wire or a film or whatever? What would downgrade the connection? We're not talking about a break in the connection, but what else would downgrade? Well, not in gold. An impurity. Some debris or something that's not gold. But the street of gold is so pure that it's as transparent glass. Now, what you see through it, too, I don't know. Maybe it's the jasper foundation of the city. I don't know. Or maybe it's something else. I don't know. But it's really neat to consider these things. You know, as we began talking about the New Jerusalem, I started this with quite a little bit of anxiety, we'll say, because the facts are, we don't have a lot of facts. There's a whole lot of speculation about what heaven's going to be like, and I'm trying to stay true to the Word. Now, of course, you know, we use illustration for application, but staying true to the Word, there are a lot of things that even things we do know, we don't know. Like, you know, when we talk about the stones, it's like, oh man, so many things we could talk about it, but really, when it really boils down to it, we don't understand it. We don't know it fully. That's not to say that we're completely ignorant. He tells us the things that we need to know for now. But it's going to be an amazing thing But the key there is that we're going to have connection with God. And that golden street is going to be a reminder of that connection. Just as you might step out say you've gone somewhere on a trip. I remember, this is maybe a little too personal, but I remember times that we would leave home and I'd be going to my dad's. There were sometimes I didn't want to go to my dad's house, and we're leaving home. And I remember times that I'd sit in the car and I'd look at the rearview mirror. And I'd watch the road back home. I love my dad, okay, so, but there were just times that, you know, I wanted to stay home. I wanted to be at home, not there. And nothing against him or anything. It's just, you know, home is home. It's different. But there were also times that I'd be going to school. Right? And I'm looking in the rearview mirror and I'm like, if I could just go the direction that mirror is showing me, back home, you know, don't have to go to school, right? Nobody else ever did that. You look at the rearview mirror and you're longing for where it's showing you, back where you came from, right? Now, we're not going to look at the New Jerusalem that way. We're going to maybe step out on this street and we're going to look to where it's going. And that feeling in your heart that you want to be. You want to be. I'm not talking about going to heaven today. I'm talking about your already the final judgment's over. This whole life thing, it's all over. It's 1,007 years plus from now. Okay, we're in the New Jerusalem. We've been there, let's say, for 10,000 years. And you still step out on the street. And you say, this is where I can go straight to the throne of God. I can go get me a snack on the Tree of Life. I mean, there's no, and there's no like looking back and thinking what life was before, because looking down the road the other way probably just takes you to a gate. Yeah. But it's amazing to think about that connection, right? And oftentimes what a road will remind you of when you... Nobody else ever looked at a rearview mirror and watched the road go behind you and wanted to go back where you just left? Okay. And it's not just about like me going to my dad's from my mom's. Oftentimes it was school. Or we're leaving Kings Island. And you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing what you wanted to be with for the rest of your life. You know, you want to go stay on those rides for the rest of your life because you're a kid and you don't really care about anything else. And so, but you're looking in that rearview mirror and you're seeing the rides off in the distance and as they disappear in the distance, right? Or the Rocky Mountains, you know, when we were traveling, you're watching them. Oh man, the mountains are going away. Man, it's a bummer. You want to see more of it or whatever. But that, just that longing feeling. Well, it won't be a longing feeling anymore. It'll be, I don't know, I'm going to step out of my mansion, out on the road, and I'm going to say, get to go again. Over to the throne of God. Now, we'll talk next week about no temple therein and all of that. That's going to be fun too. But there's that direct connection to God. Yeah, it's 1,500 miles, but I can run really fast in my new body. Okay? I'm going to be 15 feet tall. All right? So, what's that? Maybe I can fly. I don't know. What's that? Why is there only one street? Well, you think about all the people that... Anyhow, the traffic, man. You'll have to fly. Maybe you're not allowed to walk on the street. I don't know. But it's going to be amazing. But the key there is the connection with God. And I think it's really neat how gold in our world today is one of the top three conductive materials. And in some circumstances, it's the only thing that can be used effectively for a long time. I mean, think about that. The street of gold will not corrupt. It will not corrode. it will not tarnish. Amen. It's going to be a good day. Are you ready? Are you having that connection today? Did you connect with Him this morning when you got up? Are you connected to Him right now, or are you connected somewhere else?